1029 The Hog presents another Bob and Brian podcast.
Brought to you by ScreenX, exclusively at Markage Ridge Cinema in New Berlin. ScreenX provides moviegoers with a 270-degree viewing experience. Immerse yourself in the breathtaking visuals at Markage Ridge Cinema's ScreenX in New Berlin. Get your tickets at MarcusTheaters.com.
Now, still chasing his first billion, Tim Murray.
Aren't we all?
Most of us are. I have to, you know, it's going to be a lottery win or nothing.
And even if you win the lottery, you're not going to be a billionaire.
No.
You'd be a multimillionaire,
yep.
Depending on which one you win. Maybe, you know, it might even be a lame multimillionaire, like, I don't know, 9 million? Who cares?
A single digit. So,
I wouldn't even want it at that point.
Right. Have you kept a running total? Are you above water or underwater on your long gambling career?
That's a good question.
I think you should start tracking it.
Oh, I have it all tracked.
Okay.
You have written down every bet you've ever made?
Last 3 years, yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Single one.
I would
have you done the accounting, the pluses and minuses?
Mm-hmm.
Does Mrs. Murray know that you're keeping track of this?
It's right there on my computer.
You are the nicest guy I know. She probably knows your password and everything, right?
She does.
I think you're AI. I don't even think you're human.
I am slightly up for this year. And I mean slightly. The reason being, so I was a part of 3 season-long contests. So you guys went to the Circa during the Packers game, and they run a Survivor contest where you just need to pick a winner every week. And if you pick a winner all 20 weeks, you win a lot of money. It is, I think, guaranteed. I think it's $9 million for the winner. Winners.
Wow.
I did not win that. I was eliminated in, I think, week 3 or 4. So that was $1,000 out the window. Then I was in another contest to pick NFL games with a partner. It was a $1,000 entry. We did not place in that. But there was another contest at the Golden Nugget where you pick college and the NFL, and we finished 6th.
Which logistically is about 10 steps from where you work, the Golden Nugget.
Probably the only reason I joined said contest, because it was convenient.
Close by.
It's across, literally, you walk out of Tim's studio, walk by the bar, take a left out there on, is that Fremont?
Fremont Street.
And there's the Golden Nugget right there.
Yeah. So we finished 6th out of like 160 people or something like that. And we made, I think, $5,000 between the two of us. So that has kept me above water all year long.
Okay. You haven't been too happy with your NCAA anything?
No. No, I have not.
He's actually cursed himself.
Yeah.
He's like,
not that people care. I almost think people like when bettors lose, because it's just funnier that way. You're like, good job, you dope. Because last night, because we give out, you know, on my show, we at, you know, 5:30 Central, the first hour of the show, we always give out our, you know, best bet for the night or upcoming day or whatever.
And it can be in hockey, college basketball, whatever. NBA, whatever, baseball.
Yeah. It could be the NFL draft, which is coming up in 3 weeks, you know, whatever. It could be whatever. So last night I picked the NIT championship was last night.
All right. Who played in that? Illinois?
Indiana State and Seton Hall. Larry Bird's alma mater.
Good
versus
try,
Seton.
Bob.
Yeah. It was Danny Hurley's alma mater, head coach of UConn versus Indiana State. So the reason I bring it up is I had Indiana State on the money line. They were a short favorite, and they were up 77-70 with 2 minutes to go. They lost 79-77. So I was like, oh, that's about par the course of how this NCAA tournament has gone.
Close game.
Well, you know, Always good losing on a 9-0 run to close out the game.
Well,
so
9-0 run, 30-0 run, what's the difference?
It's true. Yeah. A loser's a loser, right?
A loser's a loser, yeah.
A loser, a loser. That's always the age-old question. Would you rather, if you're losing a bet, would you rather it be a blowout loss or a bad beat? Like, what would be your preference? Because a loser's a loser.
I would rather get, well, but I would rather,
not with all the covering and, you know, point spreads and stuff.
I would rather be a blowout loss and just get it over with rather than chewing your nails to the end going, get a three-pointer, we get a steal, they foul us, we get the line, we can cover.
Yeah, we have a guy at the network who I do my football podcast with. His name is Matt Newmans. He does the night show with us. He's been at VSiN since the inception. He's been a gambler for a long time. And he's very sarcastic. He goes, the worst thing is hope.
It's true.
I'm like, it's true. It's a good, he's like Yoda. I'm like, yeah, it's true. The worst thing is hope. So yes, long-winded answer. I am slightly up for the year, mainly because we were able to finish high in that contest. The NCAA tournament has not been profitable for me, but you keep grinding away, mainly because I work at a gambling network. And
you're kind of in it, you know.
Yeah, but. I've had better years, certainly. Last year, I think we had a good. Last year, I had a good NCAA tournament, and then I got absolutely destroyed in the NFL draft. Because the NFL draft's kind of fun because it's more of an information-based event. It is an information-based event, right? You know, when you think about basketball and football and hockey and baseball, the bookmakers all have their own power ratings, right? So they have a feel of how the event is going to play out. Now, they're not always right. I mean, UConn has covered the last 10 NCAA tournament games that they've been a part of, but they're always going to stick true to their power ratings, and they might move a little bit based off of who's betting the game, et cetera. But the NFL draft is all information-based, so that's why you see spots in Las Vegas – they don't bet it, or they don't book it all that much. But what happened last year was there was a lot of information coming out of Houston that they didn't like C.J. Stroud, that they didn't want to draft him. They were going to draft Will Levis. They were going to go Will Anderson, etc. Well, lo and behold, on draft day, they drafted C.J. Stroud, and that absolutely destroyed me. So I was like, I got bad information.
And the draft is kind of like the tournament in that, you know, if you get the first bracket wrong.
Yeah, it's just a cascades
through the whole thing. And NFL, you get one of the first couple of picks wrong, that's going to goof up everything else after it.
Yeah. So, yeah, that was not pleasant experience last year.
Well,
it's 3 weeks away.
We don't have Bart Lundy here this morning to prop up sports for us.
I know.
Made it very easy.
Bart was awesome yesterday.
So we're going to have to do this on our own. But we did talk about Connecticut when Coach Lundy was here yesterday and their flight delay.
Oh.
And then when they did get to Phoenix and they got to their hotel rooms at 3 in the morning, they got the small beds in their room. Now I'm starting to think the NCAA is just screwing with them, right? Don't you?
What small beds? Like they got twin beds?
Rock, what? When you said small beds, were they just singles?
Some of the pictures looked like singles, but I think they were like your regular double bed.
Uh-huh.
Not the king size bed, which a 7'2 guy needs to sleep diagonally on.
Okay. All right. So, and there, none of them got those.
No.
Nobody got that.
Mm-mm, their rooms looked really small, too, from the pictures I saw. The UConn fans are all over Twitter complaining about this now. They're not happy with the NCAA's travel arrangements for their team.
You know,
are they trying to convince themselves that it's us against the world?
That's a great question.
Or the rest of the world that the world is against them?
That is very insightful because nobody's come close to beating them. They beat everyone's brains out. We mentioned a 30-0 run. We were talking about UConn.
And if you can overcome, you know, bad travel and small bets, that just makes you a better team, right? Now you can, yes, and well, we had to overcome all these obstacles, and we still won. We're great.
Yeah. Well, they put them up in the Luxor last year at the Sweet 16 weekend.
Well, see.
Worked out well.
It did. Yeah.
But they left the Luxor. They didn't stay. They bailed out of there.
Yeah. That was pretty easy to do. I just, that is a great story where they showed up. They're like, we're not staying here. We're leaving.
Didn't they?
And anyone who's ever been to Las Vegas wouldn't disagree with said.
Hey, I've never stayed at the Luxor, but I know enough that I don't think I'd want to stay at the Luxor.
Mother recently did for a business trip and was just like, this sucks.
I stayed
there. She just
wanted
to go across to the Mandalay Bay. Like, it's like.
Right over there.
Right there.
So it's much better.
So nice. Yeah, right. Can I just please? Yeah. Nope.
It's like Elaine wanting to get into first class on Seinfeld.
Exactly.
It's
yeah.
right there on the other side of the curtain. It's so much better than this.
Yeah.
Yeah. So who booked him into the Luxor? That's their fault. Because they were
NCAA.
Booking their own.
I think the NCAA last year.
Oh, they
year.
Did that one too?
I think so.
Well, it seems to be a pattern now. But like Brian said, or is this just them going, see? They are against us.
It's totally that. I mean, this is a team that, as we talked about a little bit yesterday, they're trying to figure out a way to get motivation. When you curb stomp everybody in your path, it's hard to get motivated. It's like when Nick Saban, for years, when they would just beat everybody, and he started to talk to the media saying, don't prop these guys up as much as you are. It's like, well, stop winning every game. Like, what do you want us to do? You know, he called it rat poison. And now you look at this UConn team. Who's going to talk negatively about UConn? What's there to talk negatively about? They've lost one game in 2024. It was a road game at Creighton when Creighton went 50% from three. Other than that, they've won every single game. They beat Marquette three times. They've won every NCAA tournament, not only winning by covering the spread too. Like, they just destroy everybody. They won the Elite Eight, as we alluded to, by 25. They won the Sweet 16 by 30. Last year, they did the same thing. So there's nothing to negatively talk about. I mean, Danny Hurley tried to play up the Sweet 16 game time being a disadvantage because they had the early game on the Sweet 16 in Boston, by the way, a 80-minute drive from Storrs, Connecticut. And the team they were playing literally played the last game on Sunday in Spokane, Washington, had to fly home. Oh, by the way, in the middle of the night, somehow they were able to magically live through that and then fly across the country. But no one's against UConn. The world's not against UConn. But
you know
they're trying. But they're trying to figure out ways to.
I'll give Danny Hurley what he wants. Here, hit the record button, Rock. UConn might be the most overrated number one I've ever seen in my career. I don't know what the experts, the so-called experts, say in this team. But I see a very beatable basketball team. Hmm. Lots of flaws. They don't move well on offense. They don't pass well. Defense is a disaster. There you go, Danny.
Yeah, I'll play that off to him.
Yeah, play that for the team before the game.
Did you guys hear this?
This guy
in Milwaukee.
Sports Flakes are making hot takes about us.
I honestly wouldn't put it past him. Hey, Danny, how does it feel to be the second best coach at your university?
Right. Huh? Yeah.
Maybe, why don't you win two national championships before you start thinking about Geno?
Geno's
got 11.
I was going to say he's working on 12 right now, right? They play tonight.
Yeah, they play tonight. They play Caitlin Clark.
Yeah, that's right. That's right, Danny. We're switching gears to the ladies now. No respect for your team there.
Rather watch I'd rather watch a true champion than you guys. Ooh, yeah.
Anyone can
win one championship.
Yeah. And their tickets are more expensive than yours, too.
Really?
Well, the women's ticket. Yeah.
Really?
Well, timeout. Who's playing in a football stadium?
Yeah.
And who's playing in a basketball arena?
Right. It's a supply and demand.
60,000 for the men's at roughly $1,000 a ticket average.
You know what's weird? I've noticed this the past, especially during the NCAA tournament, but I don't even know, the past couple of months. It's like there's a rivalry. The media wants it to be a rivalry. Like, ooh.
Between the men and the women?
Yeah, it's like, it's kind of the same sport. They kind of work hand in hand, no? Like, you know, oh, the women's ticket's more. Okay. I think it's usually more because it's an 18,000 seat arena versus a football stadium that they play in. Ooh, look at the ratings. The ratings outdrew the first Elite Eight game. Okay. Yeah. The Duke NC State game outdrew them. Like, why can't it be like women's basketball is thriving? It's awesome right now. It doesn't have to be a head-to-head deal. But I guess that's...
Well, but if it
I guess
beats what, some men's numbers, then you can say it's growing. You can sort of measure its growth then, I think.
Yeah, but who cares?
Well, like, people can't that you, charge can't we, for well, commercials
can care. We,
yeah, that's true. Yeah.
Well, at the end of the day, the men's had a rating on Easter Sunday that's the highest rating since 2019. The women's had a rating that was phenomenal. It was 12.3 average, 12.3 million people. They'll probably have really good ratings again tonight. I don't know if it'll beat what it was on Monday.
What are the game times tonight? And what order do those games show up in?
South Carolina, NC State six, first up right? at 6. Yeah. And then it says 8, but probably 8:30 for you guys for Iowa, UConn.
Okay.
Have you ever watched a basketball game in a football stadium, like a Final Four?
Personally, no, I haven't.
I'm just wondering if you could even see anything from the upper deck.
I would have no interest of going. Like, that's not true. If you gave me a really good seat, absolutely, I'd be there in a heartbeat. But if you were like, here you go, here's section 427, go up to the rafter, I'd be like, no.
Yeah, I would think you could hardly even see the ball from up there.
You just watch the scoreboard all night. You would just watch the Jumbotron. Mm-hmm. You may as well be home, I think, right?
I would think so.
They put the basketball court in the middle of the football field and then surround that with seats.
Yeah.
And then all the seats up in the stands.
It's
that last row in the end zone is the worst place to watch a basketball game.
Well, remember when
the
Pistons used to play in the Silver Dome?
Yeah.
But they would hang that curtain at like the 50, they would cut off half the field. Moved the court, down accordingly.
Yeah, the
and
Spurs
you were,
did that.
And you were still a mile away from the field, right? Right. You were still way too far away from the court.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
they used to do that. They used to do that up. Yeah, the RCA Dome and in Indianapolis did that. There was another
San Antonio.
San Antonio did that. Yeah, a bunch of these.
It's kind of like the
Atlanta. I think did that too.
It's the basketball equivalent of playing football on a baseball field, where they try and squeeze it in whatever direction they can. It's like, it's no good. It doesn't work.
Mm-hmm.
No, thank you.
Yeah, but when you try to play football on a baseball field, you're squeezing things in a... When you're playing basketball in a football stadium, it's you're getting lost.
I'll say it's worse for a football team, because when you're playing basketball, you don't suddenly have to dribble through the infield. You know, like in a football game, you're running on the field. Now I'm in sand. Now I'm on grass again. Now I'm on sand again. Oh, there's a pitcher's mound in my way. You know, it was so stupid. It was so stupid.
Well, you know, they were trying to make do with what they had. Sports wasn't
true.
It was making
you're
money.
Right.
It wasn't making as much money. And then, you know,
we've rethought it. I think it's a much better system now. Baseball stadiums are much nicer when they don't have to fit a football field on them. They just are.
It is very odd going to a baseball stadium to watch a football game, because your seats are not... Every seat in a baseball stadium is positioned to home plate.
Oh, my friend, you are preaching to a town that had the Packers at County Stadium for three games a year and a preseason game against the Bears every year.
It didn't even really fit. Like, the corner of the white chalk line wasn't a full thick chalk line in the end zone, because
it went into the dugout.
Off. Yeah.
It went into the dugout.
Right.
Yeah. On the third base side.
Out for a pass in that corner of the end zone, you may end up in the dugout.
Yeah.
Well, they did that best. With
Wrigley
Field.
And they didn't even
Field.
Just throw tons of foam rubber in the dugout
no.
either.
No.
You're just going to go down the stairs and nail your head against yeah. the wall.
They used to park cars behind the goalposts at NFL stadiums.
The best seats at County Stadium when the Packers played there were the bleachers. Yeah, the worst were. Seats for a baseball right. game were the best seats because and both teams were on the same sideline, Tim.
Yeah. And you had them right in front of you if you're in the bleachers. But those were the best seats.
They were the
if
best seats.
If you didn't get a bleacher seat, you're like, I'm not going.
You were a million miles from the action if you weren't in the bleachers.
Yeah.
Yeah. I remember when I was like 19, 20 turning down. No, I'm not going. It's horrible. Have you been to a game at County Stadium, a Packer game? It's terrible. And the team was terrible, too.
That's the thing. Until the Brett Favre game.
The dive into the end zone against the Falcons to get into the playoffs. After Mike Holmgren had said, if you don't have somebody open, you got to throw it away. Don't run. And Brett says, okay. And he runs.
Hold my beer.
And he dives in the end zone, and it's our first trip to the playoffs in years. And it was the start of a whole new era.
Yeah.
So
that's where it all started.
Boy, how did we get on that? We were talking about basketball.
How do we get on anything we talk about on this?
I don't know.
In this segment,
it's hard to keep track. Sometimes
Someone should try to take track of the path.
Let's
and how
get a
we
stenographer.
Get
all the Final Four. All the Final Fours, all the championships have been in football stadiums for the last while, haven't they?
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. It's a prerequisite now. It'll be here in Vegas in 5 years, I believe.
Because they truly do have terrible seats for those.
Well, yeah. It's kind of fun. I mean, once again, it was the NIT, so who cares? The not important tournament. But it was usually that's at Madison Square Garden. It had been for years, and now they're moving it around. And it was at Hinkle yesterday, the Butler Stadium, which was kind of cool. All right, looking at it right
so
now.
So they shot Hoosiers, right?
Yep, so they shot Hoosiers. So last year was Houston. Next year it'll be the Alamo Dome in San Antonio. We've had it in the Superdome. Yeah, I mean, we haven't had it in a non-football stadium the way I'm looking at it since maybe the 80s.
Well, it hasn't really hurt them. It continues to grow.
Yeah. I mean, some of the more iconic national championships, I mean, you think back to NC State beating Houston with Jim Valvano. That was at the Pit in Albuquerque, home of New Mexico. But since then, I mean, Alamo Dome has had four of them. They'll have next year. AT&T, Jerry's World has had one. So
The look of it on TV when a crowd just disappears up in the darkness. Makes it feel huge.
Do you like how the players have to walk up steps to go check into the game? I always find that comical.
Oh, that seems kind of weird.
They build the floor up and the
right, then the team is in
benches
like a dugout.
Down.
That's kind of weird. I don't like that.
And then you've got the coach by himself on like a stool on the floor.
No, that's on the downside. But you've seen games where there's no you'd call them end zone in football and basketball. Like behind the backboard, there's just a wall. I hate those with just seats going up both sides.
That black curtain. Oh, I see. Oh, not even the black curtain. Just
right.
Yeah.
Yeah, those are terrible. But stadiums look good on TV for the TV. It's a good TV show.
The more people you can get in there, the better, right?
Yeah.
So that'll
more
be
money, more money, more money. Yeah.
That'll be Saturday night. Yeah, I mean, good weekend of hoops. We got Friday and Sunday for the women's, and then Saturday and Monday for the men's. And I would say if the TV executives have their say, which obviously they do not, you would have Iowa, South Carolina on Sunday at 2 o'clock your time on ABC, and then you'd have Purdue and UConn on Monday with the massive showdown between arguably the two best teams all year and Purdue and UConn. I mean, really, all year in college basketball, it's been three teams and kind of everybody else. UConn, Purdue, and Houston. And who knows if Houston starting point guard and best player, Jamal Shedd, doesn't get hurt against Duke. Maybe Houston's in the Final Four, too. But we've got Purdue and UConn on a collision course to meet in the national championship, which I think most people want to see. At least I do. I guess I can't speak for everyone. I think a lot of people want to see DJ Burns.
I just have a feeling that North Carolina State team is going to screw up the matchup I want to see. You know?
I don't think so, but that's just me. But as we already documented, I haven't been exactly red hot to my picks.
I had hoped we had moved past your
self-doubt?
Yes.
Yes. Get over it.
Build you up a little more.
Where were you? You wouldn't understand. Try me. You ever see this in Defending Your Life? Albert Brooks? Yeah. When Rip.
Where was Rip torn?
He was on the outer fringes of self-doubt and something like that. He goes, see, I knew you wouldn't understand. Told you wouldn't understand. You know how much your brain you use? 50%? 2. Oh. You know how much I use? Yeah. You have to watch the movie. It's maybe Albert's best movie.
Really?
Can't go wrong with Rip Torn either.
And Meryl Streep, yeah, and all that stuff. Yeah.
We still have a winless team in baseball. The Miami Marlins are 0-8,
all right,
ladies and gentlemen.
Is their manager on the hot seat?
I think they fired Don Mattingly, didn't they? Recently? Oh. Skip Schumacher, isn't he? Oh, no, he was there last year. They made the playoffs last year, the Marlins did. 0-8 start to the season. The only win, the A's have a win.
And the A's have a new home next year.
Yeah, Sacramento.
Sacramento stepped in.
What a bleep show.
And the people in Oakland are like, hey, man, what are you doing? Why are you giving him an out? We're trying to keep him here.
Yeah.
Yeah. They feel like Sacramento stabbed him in the back by offering up their minor league stadium for 3 years. They're going to be playing there
at least three years. Could be four.
Yeah.
Depending on how. I mean, and I was asking somebody about the Vegas deal because it's still not a done deal. Like, it is not in ink that everything is buttoned up for them to be here.
Wouldn't it have to be if they're getting out of Oakland and going to a minor league stadium? You can't be a team without a home.
Is this going to go down as Manfred's just biggest debacle during his reign?
I don't know. He's done a lot of them.
He has.
What was the school that was the traveling Dons? They didn't have a home.
A school?
I believe there was.
It was in San Francisco, the traveling Dons. Wasn't it?
What school was it? Did they just not have a gym?
I don't know.
And every game was an away game?
Yeah, but there was a team like that.
Traveling Dons.
Yes.
But this is billionaire owners in a group, and they're allowing their product to just be a complete crap show.
Yep.
Some of it, yeah, absolutely.
I mean, the rest of these guys should be propping them up a little bit just so it's not so embarrassing and ridiculous.
Well, if I'm somebody like Kansas City or Milwaukee or what's another small town?
Cleveland.
Cleveland's a little bigger. But I'm going, man, if they'll let this happen to Oakland, they're going to leave us all to hang out and dry like this.
Sure.
You know, nobody's safe.
Right.
So,
I mean, and that's the problem about the A's coming to Vegas is there's no excitement because why would we be excited about a team that their owner, who has plenty of money, refuses to spend it? And they've been an absolute disaster of a franchise for a handful of years now. Like in the early 2000s, it was, you know, Moneyball and, ooh, look at how smart they are and, you know, the scouting and all this. Now they're just a complete and utter disaster. And this whole situation of leaving Oakland and, you know, basically saying, we're going to Vegas without it, you know, beaten, buttoned up. I don't know. But now they'll spend, you know, 3 years in Sacramento. So get excited for the Yankees playing in a minor league baseball stadium at some point.
They're calling it intimate, the most intimate ballpark.
Apparently it's a very nice AAA ballpark from what I heard. Like the AAA ballpark in Vegas is awesome. Like it's beautiful. it sells out almost, I don't want to say every night, but it sells out a lot. It gets very good attendance. Like, I've been to very nice AAA ballparks. There are some, the one in Charlotte is gorgeous. Indianapolis's AAA ballpark is very nice.
I think Nashville's pretty nice too.
Nashville has a brand new one. It's spectacular. Like, they've really, you know, minor league baseball over the last, I don't know, 15, 20 years has started to really be smart and build some downtown ballparks. Like the ballpark that I worked at in Frederick, Maryland, if it had been downtown, oh man, it would have been phenomenal, because that's a cool little town. It was like the third biggest city in Maryland, but it was on the outskirts and it did fine, but it was a little old and antiquated. But some of these newer ballparks, like the one, I don't know if it's still thriving, but the one they built in Fort Wayne, Indiana, was gorgeous. They built it downtown. They opened it up at lunchtime. People could come in and eat lunch, you know. So a lot of these new ballparks are really nice. So I've heard that Sacramento's ballpark's really nice, but it's not a major.
It looked good when I saw it on TV this morning. I was like, well, that looks like a nice place.
It's not a major league baseball stadium. I'm sure they have to pump in new lights and things like that. I mean, remember the Blue Jays during the COVID season with Canada not allowing people in, they played in Buffalo. And it was kind of like, I don't know about this. So we'll see.
How did Major League Baseball force us to do all these upgrades to our stadium?
Right, right.
You know, you could lose, to go on.
You could lose your team right. If you don't do all, if you don't.
You got to put a giant screen up in it.
And it was 300 and some odd million, you know. Whatever, you're right. How did we have to
right with our 50,000 seats somewhere in there?
Yeah,
someone else builds 12,000
well attended ball games, competitive baseball team. Yeah, if you don't put a new screen
we're
in there,
we're gonna pull the team.
Yeah, probably just come and get them in the night one time. Yeah, you just won't have a team one day.
The Oakland Coliseum
holds more than any other ballpark.
Yeah, but it's a dump.
I know, but I mean, it's...
I feel like I got to go this year.
Just to experience, just have to a horrible experience in. One more time.
I almost think at this point it would be great, because when are you going to get to watch a baseball... Like, my buddy, before the Nationals moved, or for the Expos moved to Washington, one of the final years in Montreal, I mean, those games were laughable, right? There was no one there. And my buddy is from Montreal, and he was like, it was great. He was like, I could leave my seat at the end of the inning, go to the concession stand, and be back in my seat before the inning started.
It was like watching the game at home.
It was like it was like my own Major League Baseball stadium. That's why I kind of want to go to an Oakland A's game just to take it all in such a dump. And before the Nats moved to their new stadium in 2008, they were playing in RFK, the old football stadium. That was a dump, too. Absolute dump.
Mm-hmm. And so, what was the seating of RFK? Was that around 56 or?
50-ish, something like that, yeah.
They're moving away from that.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
You're 35,000, 40,000-seat ballpark now, a little more
if
intimate.
That were okay today, the Brewers would still be in Seattle.
Oh, right, yes.
Explain.
What was it, Sick Field, where they played?
Sounds right, yes.
Major League Baseball said it's too small. Mm. Seattle couldn't get a bigger ballpark built in time, so they moved the Pilots out of town.
But Selig swooped in, bought them up, said, I got a ballpark.
An empty ballpark in Milwaukee the Braves used to play at.
Just a few years before. Hey,
the capacity of...
Back then, they put additions on after the Brewers got here.
Right.
So they added on to it, but it was probably,
around 55?
Was that what it was before the additions? I don't know.
Yeah, but now Oakland, the dump, is 56,000 plus.
But now it's not...
I guess they'll just, I don't know, are they going to blow that stadium up at some point?
Yeah.
I
mean, that... Why wouldn't... What, are you going to keep it for what?
I know.
Come and see the Oakland ruins?
What was it?
Well, you know,
what was the story last year? The raccoons that were
living in the
possums.
Visiting
the possums. That's right.
They're in the visiting TV booth.
Yeah,
they had made their home in there, right?
Yeah,
yeah. One more thing before we go: this Rashee Rice thing, the car Racing in Dallas. Did he own both of those cars that crashed, the Corvette and the Lambo? Or did he just have, was the Lambo his? Because initially
he
I thought.
He was driving the Lamborghini.
Right. When he crashed it and ran away and didn't call police or anything like that and couldn't be found for 2 days. But you listen to his lawyer now and his lawyer will say, fully cooperating after 2 days on the run.
The Corvette belongs to Rice.
Right. And he was driving the Lambo. Yep. So both of those cars that were racing were his. You know who that happens to when both cars wreck? It's called a NASCAR race. And it's a team of drivers.
We should also reach out to Rashee Rice's financial advisor. Hey, buddy, your contract only $6 million, so don't go spending it all on Lamborghinis and Corvettes.
Just, well.
Oh, he was leasing the Lamborghini.
And so he did. The agreement was he was the only one who could drive the Lambo, too. So yes. He didn't break, you know, that. He could probably get another one when he goes back with that one. Were you driving? Yes, sir. I was. You probably saw it on TV.
But yeah. It was me.
Yeah.
Times have changed from borrowing a fishing boat and getting in the rental cars.
Right. Borrowed fishing boat. Towed by a rental car.
Robin Young had a story
to
end all stories yesterday that ended with Bob Uecker riding on the side of a step truck at about 80 miles an hour somewhere in Arizona.
Two cowboys.
That they met in a bar an hour or two before.
Holding a boulder to throw at the boat Robin Young was riding in behind the rental car.
And that was he was riding in the boat because they were leaving without him, and that's all he could catch was the boat, so he crawled into the boat.
Dove in there.
Yeah.
You don't want to stop for your young superstar shortstop.